Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. Today is absolutely stellar out. It's so gorgeous. It's really hard to complain living here on the Gulf side of Florida because, well, I'm surrounded by oceans and dinosaurs and beauty and just tropical deliciousness. But I do have to confess, I have a small complaint. That complaint would be the very fact that it's so damn hot. I'll take the hot over the snow. I've done both. And I would rather be barefoot and have my ears dripping wet with sweat than dealing with the freezing cold and the snotsicles. I'm over that. I'm good. I went out at 6:30 this morning. 6:30 in the morning to do some weeding and to put my begonias that have just rapidly, crazily growed up on some trellis, and I wasn't even out there for 15 minutes before my face was melting off. Shoot. Lord, enough is enough is enough, right? All right, so I'm super excited about our guest today. We were going to do a video for the YouTube channel, but unfortunately the internet was just too wonky, and I can't sit through that. You know, these people come on because they have a great story and they have something to talk about. And Chris will be calling in soon. I just think he's waiting on my email, maybe. I don't know. We will see. It's always an adventure. Always an adventure. So, he'll dial in a minute at 929-477-1165. Yes, sir, that's what he'll be doing in a second. Yeah, so anyway, my face is melting off, and the damn begonias, I didn't know begonias had thorns on them, and it's been a while since I had an opportunity to go out and weed in between my roses and my begonias. Now, I have this tendency to go to the clearance section of box stores and hardware stores and find all the poor little plants that nobody wants anymore that are on clearance and are pretty much dead. And I have an amazing ability to not only have them come back to life, but, like, come back crazy huge to life. And so the begonias were little tiny things, you know, maybe a foot tall, a foot and a half. Now they are as tall as I am. They're almost 6 feet tall. And so I'm wrapping it around the trellis, and they're biting me as I'm doing it. So it's 6:30 in the morning. My face is dripping off. My neighbors probably think I'm crazy as all hell because I'm out there swaying at a damn plant. Can you believe that? All right. I don't think he's checking his email, and I don't think he even knows that he needs to call in. All right. I'm going to text him. You guys get to hear me click, 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 clack, 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 click, 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 clack, click, 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 clack. Nine, two, four. Probably shouldn't give you his phone number, should I? Y'all, oh, there he is. Yay.
I sounded.
I was getting ready to text you. I was literally going clack, 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 clack. How are you? Yay.
I'm all right, doing
we're
great. Sorry
together.
That the... Yeah.
It is what it is. I'm not worried about it.
Right.
But what I am worried about is making sure that the time that we have, you can actually share your story and inspire other people. So we're going to start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? What do you do, and what makes you you?
Sure. So
my name, I have a stage name. I'm a musician and producer, so my stage name is Zen Large, because when you make rap music, you can't go by Marshall Mathers. You got to be Eminem, right? You know, they're all, you all have makeup names. So I go by Zen Large. And in addition to making music, I have a podcast called The Zen Large Show. And it's about personal development and living the Zen life. So to me, you know, the Zen means different things to different people. There actually is a religion out of Japan called Zen. When I talk about Zen living, I'm not referring to the religion. To me, what it means is, you know, it's being able to take the curveballs that life throw at you and remain calm and choose how you would like to respond. You know, where so many people are basically stimulus response machines. So something happens, they have a big emotional response, and then that emotion is what drives what happens to them. Then afterwards, you know, they regret what their actions were. So that's, to me, that in a nutshell, what living the Zen life is about. There are a lot of other little components to it as well, just to try and maximize living, to, you know, live the best life we have, maximize every second we've got on this planet, right? So, but it's a tremendously rewarding doing the podcast, making music. I've helped a ton of people. I've improved my own life, learned a lot from other people, taught some people a few things here and there, and just have had a lot of fun. So that's where I'm at.
I absolutely love doing this work, because do you want to pause me or mute me? I love doing this work because I literally get to travel all over the world meeting really incredible people that inspire, motivate, and change narratives. And that's a really big deal for me, when you can look at your situation and change that into something that is beneficial and healthy and more positive. I have learned so much over the last 5 years doing this. It's just been, to me, it's spiritual work.
Mm. Yeah, I completely understand. And it's when I help others, I inevitably end up learning myself and becoming, you know, increasing my Zen mastery level, right? To end up taking a few more steps higher on the mountain of a life. So it's tremendously rewarding just in itself, helping others, but also you can't help but end up rising yourself in the process.
No, not at all. And it's all about perspective. You know, you don't know what you don't know until you know. And if somebody brings you a different perspective, it opens up your mental horizons. And to me, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. And it's perspective. And I would also say a lot of it's relative too. So people ask, you know, like, what is enlightenment like? What is that? And I'm like, you know, to me, I feel like I'm enlightened because I can look back at my past self a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, and see that I was further down the mountain. And I see now how far up I've climbed. There may be a whole bunch of people that are higher up the mountain than me, you know, but that's fine. For me, it's relatively getting better, you know, trying to each day get better. You know, some days you have a setback, you know, it's, as long as it's two steps forward, one step back, rather than, you know, the other way around, that's the goal, right? So it's the goal isn't perfection, it's improvement. And I think that's one of the things where people get caught up in their journey of growth. They start off, maybe they listen to a show like yours, and you have a guest on that gives some strategy to help them to grow and to, you know, take a few steps up the mountain. And they try it and they're like, oh yeah, this is working. You take it two steps, and then something happens and they have a stumble and they go back a little bit and they're like, oh, it doesn't work. I tried that. It doesn't work. And so they just go back to living their lives and being miserable. And, you know, I feel like that's a part of the message in growth that isn't emphasized enough. Like when you're reading books and listening to people talk, that there's going to be a process of, you know, up and down. And you know, it's kind of like when you're looking at a chart of a stock, you know, you're looking at a price of Apple. Apple doesn't go straight up, but over the long term, you know, there's ups, downs, but over the long term, it keeps going up. So that's what you want, is over the long term that you keep getting higher.
Well, and we're a fast food culture. We're fast food,
sucking up consumerism, materialistic. We fill our lives with busy stuff. It's not even usually beneficial. It's just busy stuff so that we don't actually have to deal with our own stuff. And then we think that healing spiritual level is going to be a fast food 15-second thing. It's not. And that's the reality. But we're so hardwired right now to be immediately gratified that I think it's a trigger response, like an automatic response for people if they don't, you know, by the end of the book, they don't have 100% A+, then they failed and the book sucked, right?
Right.
During this pandemic, I think it's really powerful because this is a quiet time so that you can do the book once or twice or three times. You know, there's stuff that I'm still doing from Joseph Campbell's book that I started in seventh grade. You know, you've got to go back. You've got to reread. You've got to go through those steps again, right? And but I'm not a fast food person, so.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And it's why personal development is really a hard sell. So it's not something that very many people are into because they want that fast food. They want the easy fix. They want, you know, when they go to the doctor, they say, doctor, could you just give me a pill? The doctor's like, you know, all right, to get better, you need to exercise. You need to improve your diet, stop smoking. And they're like, can't you just give me a pill? You know, that's what they want. They want the pill.
Yeah.
And that isn't how personal development works. And a lot of it, sometimes you don't always see the gains right away. You know, sometimes, you know, I was talking to one of my buddy who's a pretty successful counselor. And, you know, he's had his own journey of growth and helped, you know, hundreds of people, if not more, grow along the way. And he's like, you know, Chris, some of the stuff that I was doing 10 years ago, I'm now like reaping huge benefits for it. But he's like, I'm not sure that like the first several years that there was much, you know, there was stuff going on under the soil. You know, there was roots growing and whatnot, but nothing was showing. You know, he gives the analogy of like a garden or a tree. You know, you plant a seed and maybe there's a lot going on in the soil, but you don't see anything for a while, right? And if you're wanting to harvest apples, it might be years before you actually can have an apple in your hand. But it's just, there's no other way to improve your life to this degree, right? You know, there's other things you can do, small things you can do that will help the day-to-day working on the healing, working through, you know, emotional wounds, working on having practices to, you know, improve your attitude and be grateful. These things, the reward isn't necessarily right away. And so most people end up just continuing to live lives that are relatively miserable, and it's unfortunate.
Well, and I think that you bring up a valid point. It you're chipping off stuff. Like if you were to look at a old cast iron, rusty cast iron pan, you got to chip off all the rust before you get to the pan, and then you still have to sand the pan down, oil it down to make it shiny, pretty, and workable again. And that's kind of what you're doing with your own emotional self. You know, you got to chip things down, and then when you chip a little piece, you realize that there's another little piece that you forgot. Those are the ones that kill me. I'm like, oh, man, damn it, I was so close. No, something new.
Or the ones
damn.
You thought you had it, but you didn't. You realize you really didn't, you know.
Right. But it's a forever process. It's not something that, you know, is going to happen in a week or a month or 10 days. And I think, again, back to this way we've constructed our society, we haven't constructed it in a healthy way. And I like the fact that there are more and more people like us doing the kind of work that we're doing, because it helps people understand that you have to chip away at it. It's not, you know, you can't power wash it.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's, you know, there's a lot of problems with our phones and this society today. You know, they provide a lot of distraction and whatnot. But one of the great things about them is it has allowed people like you and me to reach people that resonate with us. So one of the ways that you can end up getting on this path of growth is if you find somebody that really speaks to you, you know, because there's a lot of people that are doing really great work, but some of them, for whatever reason, might not speak to you, you know, and they may listen to me and be like, whatever, you know, they don't make it 3 minutes into the video, but they listen to you and something about your voice makes them feel comfortable And so they listen a little further and listen a little further. And now, you know, then once, you know, they do that, they start talking to people in the community and they're like, oh yeah, if you like Rusty, there's this person over here that also can help you out. So it's a way for you to connect with people that you would never in the past have been able to. So that's one of the things I'm really grateful for, but it's, you know, at the same time, it provides all these other distractions and other challenges that we didn't have, you know, as recently as 10 or 15 years ago. So it's a really fascinating time to be alive. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I was growing up, you know, we're probably run close to the same age and we had pen pals and, you know, skateboards and Huffy bikes and forts and things like that in a wall with a phone on it, with a cord connected to the wall piece.
Right.
We couldn't like have a phone call in the middle of our drive or, you know, 15 or 1,000 miles away. I travel a lot, so it's like, oh my God, I love having my phone because somebody can reach me if they need me, you know. But
right.
The benefit, I think the benefit to having these conversations and having more of these conversations is the fact that you are aware that your phone is bittersweet. It's a double-edged sword, you know.
Right.
Really can provide you immediate gratification in regards to information. I mean, you can go to Professor Google and diagnose yourself within 30 seconds, just like you can on a computer. Call your friends, text your friends, video your friends. And you can play a lot of games and get distracted that way. But having these conversations, I hope, reel people into having more natural time too and finding balance within their life that works for them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's you know, you talked about the dissociation of these phones, and that's, you know, one of the ways that people dissociate. You know, there's many of them, and you know, that's, it's TV and Netflix or you know, alcohol, drugs, or, you know, people are workaholics. They throw themselves into that, anything to like deal with their pain, right? They don't want to deal with the pain. And so they do these other things to dissociate from it. And you know, this is another thing why personal development can be such a hard sell is like, say you've been hiding from pain by binge watching Netflix, you know, or you're throwing yourself into your work. And you're very successful at work because you throw yourself into it and you're putting in tons of hours, but you know, maybe your health is suffering because you're not getting enough sleep or you don't have time to eat right. So you're doing fast food, your relationships are suffering. You're not being the father you want to be. You're not being the spouse you want to be. You're not being the parent you want to be. Right. And so you're like, okay, something has to happen. So you try to come out of that dissociation, stop work on, you know, try to put in only a 40 or 50 hour week instead of 80, and start dealing with these psychological wounds that you have that you've been running from. And you're like, all of a sudden, oh, that's really painful. That hurts. Now it's, you know, you've been sweeping it under the rug this whole time. And now you're actually having to deal with it. And it's like, and initially it's worse dealing with that than it was being dissociated. You'd much rather like, okay, where's Netflix at again? I don't want to deal with this anymore. You know, it's really painful when you first come out of that. So again, it's like there's all these things working against people growing. You know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Once you work through that pain and start healing those wounds, then things start getting better. But a lot of times for people, the first step is actually, you know, dealing with their pain that they've been running from their whole life. And it really sucks. You know, so, and that's where you see people go to psychiatrists and whatnot. And they don't want to go there and sit in the chair and do a lot of hard work. They go in and they say, is there a pill you can give me that can make me just forget about all this? And because it then just puts them back into that dissociated state. It then just sweeps everything back under the rug again, out of sight, out of mind. But what I tell people is whenever you dissociate, when you don't deal with your problems, then they have control over you. Then at that point, they're the puppet master. You don't see them anymore. Like you don't see the puppet master when you go to watch a puppet show. It's off stage, but they're the ones with the strings pulling, you know, controlling your life. So that's when you come home and your spouse says something and it triggers you and you respond back and yell at them and it gets into an ugly fight. And you're like, afterwards, you're like, what the hell happened there? And it's like, well, you were a puppet on a string because you never dealt with your your trauma, and maybe your spouse said something that reminded you of the way your mom used to yell at you when you were a little kid, and you know, and it just triggered this whole response, and all of a sudden you're not choosing how you want to respond. You're not living, like I said in the beginning, that Zen life. Instead, you're just a stimulus response machine, a stimulus response robot, and afterwards you're regretting, you know, what happened. But it's you know, you have to deal with that pain. So, you know, that's one of the things I try to tell people over and over again. I'm like, I swear to God, it's worth it at the end. You know, it might suck at first, and it's just you know, most people aren't ready to do that. And but there's enough people that are, that I don't worry about the people too much that aren't ready. I help the people that are looking for help, and that's enough to keep me busy for a lifetime.
Yeah, I think my philosophy is, you're either going to resonate with me or you're going to rebel against me. You know, and either way is fine because it's your business. But only, you know, when you're in this work and you've done the kind of shadow work and deep diving that you and I have done, do you fully embrace and appreciate the fact that not, you know, everybody else has their path and divine timing is what it is, and people come when they are supposed to. Don't try to force it, you know, just flow with it. And I just think it's miraculous. The more I sit back and the more I float, you know, float in the universe, I'm surfing on a big rock and just chill, the more beautiful everything has become. And the, oh my God, it's just been amazing the amount of people that I've met around the world who are just simply the most amazing beings on the planet. So the better I get with myself, the more open I am to seeing the beauty is kind of the point. Believe it or not, we have about 10 minutes left out of 35. It's crazy. It goes by so fast. So, Chris, tell us where we can find more information about you.
Sure. If you just Google Zen Large, it's one word, like Zen, Z-E-N, and then large, or Enlarge with a Z on the front. I'll come right up. You could go to zenlarge.co, or you could go to any kind of podcast platform and Google for Zen Large Show, and it'll come up if you're looking for podcasts. And YouTube, same thing. If you just put in Zen Large, it's my stuff is going to all – the first thing that comes back is going to be all me. So that's the best way to do it, you know. And I've only recently started making videos. And since I've decided to make music as under the Zen Large label, that's been a little less than a year now. And so I started the Zen Large Show doing videos, but I have a lot of podcasts that go before that that you can find still just by searching for Zen Large.
Yeah, the videos I think have been really welcoming, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, because video for me was not something I really was crazy about. Being an anti-TV person, it's like, but I felt like it was really important to do the videos because there were so many people that couldn't leave their space and didn't have anybody else in their space, so it's kind of comforting to see somebody, you know?
Right. Yeah, video's hard, so, you know, I like to say, like, blogs are really easy. Podcasts are about 10 times harder than to make a high quality podcast is about 10 times harder than make a high quality blog. Making a high quality blog, if you can write high quality, you've got a high quality blog, right? But making a high quality podcast is much more difficult. And so but much less people do it. And then making a high quality video is at least 10 times harder than making a high quality podcast. And again, much less people do it. So it's a great medium. And the nice thing about it is that I find I can reach more people because there's less competition. You know, the more you go up that chain, there's a lot less people making videos than there are making podcasts, and there are a lot less people making podcasts than there are blogs. And like you said, sometimes you resonate with people. Seeing your image and whatnot helps people to get to know you and receive your message better and be more open to it. And so all that stuff is just going to be able to enable you to help more people.
Absolutely. I'm all about service, and this is the way I do service for sure. Chris, what are the top five things that you would highly recommend people, like very green thumbs, never really thought about going into the flow? What are your beginner steps of becoming Zenful?
Oh man, yeah, that's a good one. I mean, probably, I don't know if I want to say this is the beginner step, but the probably the most important thing is to, it's like one of my very first Zen Large Show episodes, and it's called Process Your Shit. This is finding your psychological wounds and healing them. There's many strategies to do that. I personally really like the going to a therapist that's trained with interfamily systems therapy or IFS therapy. That's really worked well for me, and I know several people who it's been very effective for them as well. So I would say look into that. But that's kind of intimidating for people. So another one that's a really good thing you can do and is very easy and isn't a big time commitment is when you feel yourself getting stressed, is to step back, stop, you know, hit the pause button rather than continuing forward, and to do a short meditation. You know, some people talk about meditation. They're like, you need to start at 10 minutes a day, work your way up to 60, you know, and that's the only way you're going to, you know, improve your life. And it's too much to ask for most people. And even 10 minutes can seem like a lot for most people in the beginning. And what I found actually is that you can do a meditation as short as like a one breath meditation. And the more you practice it, just like anything else you would practice, playing guitar or tennis, you get better at it and it gets more effective. And so you might be stressed. And most of the time I don't do just a single breath meditation, although sometimes I do. You know, if I'm at a traffic light and I'm feeling stressed, I'll do one breath and then the light changes and then I concentrate on driving again. But very often I will do like a 1 minute or a 30 second meditation where I just sit there, clear my mind, slow down, maybe close my eyes and focus on my breath, you know, breathing in, breathing out, and just clear my mind. And it's amazing how little it takes to actually, you could actually physically feel your stress level dropping, you know, on the spot. So having a little tool like that is good. Another thing I really like, if somebody's suffering, so you might be thinking about something and it's driving you crazy because you just keep thinking about it over and over again, like a repetitive thought. You know, maybe it's an argument. Maybe it's you're dreading a talk that you have to have coming up with your boss or something like that, right? It could be any number of things, but you're miserable. One of the things I would say to do is take a short break and do something you love. Do something that brings you joy. It could be different things for different people. For me, dancing really brings me joy. When I dance, it's just like I feel like my soul is singing, right? And it's just this pure expression of joy and happiness. And afterwards, I just feel better. I can't help but feel better afterwards. And so find whatever that is for you and use it here and there as just a tool to get you by when you're in a hard spot and you don't have a chance to go do the hard work of, you know, meeting with your therapist or whatever. You know, you still need to do that hard work. You can't just every time you feel bad, go start dancing. That'll help, but it's not going to be nearly as effective as processing your shit, right? But it is a nice tool to have when you just need a little relief. Sometimes you just need a little relief. You're suffering, you need a little relief. And as long as you're not constantly, you know, going to that, and at some point you're going back and getting to the root of the problem, then there's nothing wrong with finding something that brings you joy and doing more of it. And not to mention, the more you do the things that do you joy, the more joy you have in your life, right? Kind of by definition. So I guess on top of that, the other thing I would say to give you, I don't know if this is five or not, it sounds like about five, is to have a gratitude practice. So another thing, when you're really suffering, you can take a couple breaths. Like I told you before, do like a one breath meditation, a 10 breath meditation, and then just start thinking of things you're thankful for and really feel it. And they found that gratitude is one of the single best things you can do to improve your life. There's all kinds of studies showing how gratitude is probably the single most scientifically proven practice for improving your life. People that are gratitude just report having better lives, you know, being happier, being more at peace. So, and we all have something to be grateful for. If you're listening to this show, you have something to be grateful for. You're drawing air into your lungs. you've got a phone or a tablet or some kind of device, you know, you have power and probably a million other things to be grateful for. So that's what I would recommend.
I love it. I love it. I have my gratitude list every morning, and I do. I share it with my Facebook friends. And it's always like, I just get so high off of it. It's like, you know, you're watching the sunrise and all of the things that were in the dark, they come into life. And then because I live in the tropics, you know, I got 50,000 dinosaurs and a million different types of birds that start chirping and singing and doing their morning busyness. Mm. And it's just being in that moment. Yeah, and then feeling your bed, and I have two little dogs, and they like to sleep inside my side. Puppy love. And,
oh my
and
God.
Each and every moment, to me, is incredibly, it just fills my soul up so much. But we're down to 90 seconds. You know how this drill goes. It's crazy. I have to cut the cord. And
right.
I'm personally inviting you on again for another radio sometime this summer, because I think you and I
sure.
have a lot more that we could talk about. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So
we're just scratching the surface.
Where we could find you again?
The easiest thing is just to Google Zen Large. So Z-E-N and then the word large. And that's all one word. And you'll find me. Yeah, the first several pages that come up on Google will be there. You know, or if you go into any whatever podcast app you use, whatever you're using to listen to this right now, type in Zen Large, and I should come right up.
Yay. Chris, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with me today. It was really nice to meet you and learn more about you and who you are and what you're embodying and what you're giving out to the universe, because I'm grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's been my pleasure. Anytime.
All right, groovy. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and what a ride on this rock, man. So many cool people doing some really wonderful stuff. Go check out Zen Large, download some of his music, tune in, tune up, and jam. I'm down, totally down. Know that you're loved. Know that you're beautiful. Go and be kind to yourself. It's okay to dance in your living room naked. Your neighbors aren't watching anyway. They're probably watching Fox News. You know how that goes. Sing at the top of your lungs. Go plant something. Go swim. Go walk in the woods. Take a nap. Take a bath. Be kind to yourself so that you can be kind to the rest of the world.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.